The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. It's November 5th. November 5th already. And as much as I'd like to remain in denial about the fact that yet another year is blowing by, I noticed last night they were already showing Elf and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation on cable TV. Friends, just 7 weeks from today, on Sunday, December 24th, we will be gathering for Advent worship in the morning and Christmas Eve worship in the evening. Ugh. In keeping with the "How Time Flies" theme, I'm also a bit shocked that it's been almost a full year since I returned from my sabbatical. I've shared some of my sabbatical experiences and learnings in the classroom and from this pulpit, but in case you aren't aware, I spent my 3 months away from parish ministry studying death. I traipsed around cemeteries in places like Draguignan, France, and Steelton, Pennsylvania. I read books on grief and watched documentaries about funeral directors. I listened to podcasts featuring strange burial practices from around the world, learned how a retort, the technical name for a cremation chamber, works, visited places of mass tragedy and remembrance in Shanksville and New York City. It was all very interesting, but it really got to be a lot. Constant, unrelenting reminder of the truth that we humans are mortal, fragile, limited, terminal. We, the community of God's people, hear that truth very loudly on Ash Wednesday each year, when we have ashes smudged in the sign of a cross on our foreheads, accompanied by these words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." But the reality of death is with us, around us, in us, always. Sometimes it's just background noise, the headline we see about a fatal car accident on I-81, a coworker mentioning in passing that she had just been at a funeral, a commercial on TV for life insurance, news reports from far-off places with names like Ukraine, Israel, the Gaza Strip. Sometimes the reality of death crashes into us head on. We journey with our spouse through an awful diagnosis, treatment that only works for a short time, a referral to hospice, a vigil of those last weeks and days and hours. We grieve a miscarriage, a child loved but never known. We ache for the parent we miss, the best friend who died too young, the addict we just couldn't help. Death does indeed come for old and young, for rich and poor, for people of all shapes and sizes and colors. Death comes slowly, too slowly sometimes. That long goodbye, while we watch someone we love suffer and we pray for their suffering to end, where death comes as a sudden, shocking surprise with no warning, literally in a heartbeat. A heartbeat there 1 minute and not there the next. Today is All Saints Sunday. We celebrate All Saints every year on the first Sunday in November. And I'm using the word celebrate on purpose. Because even though I've just spent the first minutes of my sermon talking about death, today is not a sad day for the church. I'm sure there maybe some tears today, here in this place, and in all the other places of worship around the world where names will be read, candles will be lit, bells will be tolled in remembrance. The tears may come from fresh wounds, a recent death, grief that is still raw, or tears may come from deep inside, over losses that happened long ago, people for whom we still ache. We mourn the dead because they were a gift to us in life. They were our saints. Were they perfect? Nope. Did they make mistakes? Yep. Do we have some regrets about how they treated us or we treated them at times? Absolutely. Did they perform miracles? Probably not. But sainthood isn't about any of that stuff. We hear the word saint and we think about that very narrow category of people officially designated as such by the Roman Catholic Church. There's a very long and involved bureaucratic process here. A waiting period after death, examination of the prospective saint's life and work and virtue, proof of miracles attributed to prayers in their name, official action by the church to canonize them as a saint. But that's not really how saints are made. Saints are made in the waters of baptism by God's grace, not our merit. That is what we celebrate each All Saints Sunday, the saint-making grace of God. We celebrate that through water and the Holy Spirit, God changes everything. We are no longer just dust. We are God's beloved children, joined to Christ's death and Christ's resurrection, marked with the cross of Christ, claimed forever. For us saints, death doesn't have the last word. not for the saints whose names will be read at the font during the prayers in just a few minutes, not for any of the other beloved saints on our hearts and minds this day. At the end of my sabbatical last year, I went on one final pilgrimage to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum at the site of the World Trade Center in Manhattan. It was very intense, a very meaningful experience. But I must say, I was a bit surprised at the crowds. Both those gathered around those huge reflecting pools marking the sites of the North and South Towers, and those crowds working their way through the museum. I mean, 9/11 was more than two decades past. The memorial had been open for 11 years by then, the museum for eight. But still, crowds were gathered, remembering, reliving, lamenting the death that occurred on that horrible, horrible day. We, children of God, hold on to a promise that a joyous, joyous day is to come, when great crowds will gather, not to remember, relive, and lament death, but to celebrate a final victory over death. That's the vision we heard in our reading from Revelation this morning, of a multitude so great it can't be counted. A multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, a multitude gathered around the throne of God singing praises. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. What a day that will be. A holy and astounding reunion with the saints of every time and every place. Until that day, we give thanks for the lives and love and faith of those who have gone before us, for their communion with us at that table, a foretaste of the feast to come, and for the promise made in Christ's death and resurrection that we will see them again.